What if there were a fountain of youth pill that could add decades to your life? Would you take it? Unlocking the Fountain is a podcast about the mysteries of aging and the scientific quest to slow, stop, or even reverse it.
When do you think we're going to have the first 150-year-old? I think that person's already alive.
Unlocking the Fountain. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
I'm Dr. Brian Goldman, and you're listening to a bonus podcast edition of White Coat, Black Heart. Our main show this week features an interview with Dr. David Mulder. He's the longtime physician for the Montreal Canadiens, who's retiring from the hockey team after a career spanning more than five decades. On that show, Mulder talked in dramatic detail about the night in January 2000 when the good doctor and colleagues saved the life of forward Trent McCleary. During a game against the Philadelphia Flyers, McCleary took a puck to the neck that fractured his larynx.
It's the redirection, and McCleary just blocked the shot by Therrien, and that stings. Into the ribcage.
I'm not so sure it wasn't right into the face.
Ouch.
As McCleary just slid the wrong way, and you can see the pain he is in right now.
That night was his most dramatic encounter with Dr. Mulder, but it's not the only one. He had yet to become a Hab the first time he received emergency treatment from Mulder. Can you give us a hi, my name is?
Hi, my name is Trent McCleary. I'm currently an investment advisor at CIBC World Markets, Wood Gundy, and I'm a former NHL hockey player, former NHL scout, and also current coach for U15 AA female hockey program in Swift Current, and loving life.
And I can understand why. Trent McCleary, welcome to White Coat, Black Heart.
Great to be here, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Trent, tell me about the first time you met Dr. Mulder.
Oh, first time I met Dr. Mulder, I was playing for the Boston Bruins. It was a preseason game, and one of the Canadian defensemen came down and just great, clean, open ice check. But unfortunately, I pretty much shattered my nose. And Dr. Mulder was the physician for the Canadiens, of course, and the physicians do take care of both teams. So after the game, he came over to straighten my nose. And when I was with in the Molson Center, I guess, and this would have been in 97, I believe. Yeah, so probably September of 1997. And so, he fixed my nose and got to know him a little there and had quite a few meetings with him later after that.
He fixed your nose. How did he do that? He did it right on the spot.
Oh, yeah. He basically had me sit on the end of the bench, and I think he put some forceps or something in my one nostril and lifted me up off the bench with it.
And
it cracked and was blood everywhere. And it's like, okay, hey, Trent, how you doing? Are you okay? It's like, okay, yep. Okay, now just get ready. We're going to do the other side now. And I'm just, that's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You couldn't have done them both at the same time. But so that was our first meeting, and he fixed it right then and there. And although I might snore a little because of that, but everything's pretty good.
So then around 2 years later, you join the Montreal Canadiens, and he becomes your team doctor. Compared with other teams you'd been on, what set Dr. Mulder apart?
Well, probably for me, his presence. Like, just even at that point in time, he's very distinguished. Like, he'd walk into the room or walk into the clinic, and everybody would just, oh, Dr. Mulder's here. And just the respect that he garnered was something that was noticeable right from the get-go.
What was his bedside manner like? I mean, you already had a taste of it when he fixed your nose.
Oh, like I said, personable. Like I said, he's, of course, he came from Essen, Saskatchewan, so his English is perfect, and so is his French. His bedside manner was like anybody from Saskatchewan. Basically, no nonsense, but definitely a sense of humor as well.
And you would know, since you're a Saskatchewan boy yourself, aren't you?
Yeah. He's from Eston. I'm from Swift Current. So we're about a little over 2 hours away.
So you became a Montreal Canadian, and on January the 29th, 2000, you suffered an incredibly serious injury on the ice. You almost died right in the middle of a game, and you know, certainly people around the world heard about it, but I want you to take me back to that moment and describe it from your point of view.
So basically, it was in the second period, went down to block a shot, and essentially threw myself on the ice to try to block it, and misjudged the timing of it, and the Philadelphia Flyers defenseman shot the puck and it hit me directly in the larynx, and it essentially crushed my larynx, my throat. Yes. So it, instantly I play stopped. It's funny because your larynx or your throat is, it's a round bone, and it took absolutely all the force from the slap shot. The puck didn't deflect at all. It was kind of funny because you actually look at the replay and you can see him trying to toe drag the puck away because it didn't move. It didn't deflect at all. It just absorbed it right on my throat. And of course, the pain was immense immediately. But the biggest thing was that it was hard to breathe. It felt like I was breathing through a straw and somebody was slowly pinching the straw. That was kind of a scary point in time. And at that point, the trainers had got on the ice. I knew basically the doctors are basically right behind the bench in Montreal. And that's where I wanted to get to. Because I knew Dr. Mulder, if something was wrong, I wanted him. So basically, me and the trainers got off the ice. I think I took one step and pretty much ran out of air at that point and collapsed. And Dr. Mulder basically caught me.
So you remember Dr. Mulder catching you?
Yep. I remember skating off, taking one step, and then everything just went black.
But you know, I guess you've been told what happened subsequently. From that moment on, from the moment you collapsed to being brought to the Montreal General Hospital and getting emergency surgery, what have you been told about what happened?
Oh, quite a bit. Just that I wasn't the most benign patient. I threw one of my trainers over the bench, just panicking, trying to grab my throat because just instinct. And like I said, there was blood everywhere. I was spitting blood. Just it was chaos in the dressing room in the clinic. And thank goodness we had trainers in numbers, because as you can imagine, I'm thrashing around in an absolute panic with skates on and fists and just trying to survive. But the doctors, the trainers, the medical team did an amazing job at getting me subdued, getting me in the ambulance, and getting me off to the Montreal General. Dr. Mulder said if I wouldn't have skated off, I probably would have died on the ice.
Wow.
It was that close, just because by the time a doctor would have got on the ice, it would have been a minute or two that I had.
Hi, I'm Dr. Hillary McBride. Normally, therapy sessions are totally confidential, but in other people's problems, I open the doors to let you hear sessions with my long-standing clients. This is what people sound like when they talk with someone they trust about healing addiction, parenting stress, racist ideologies in the family, and other topics that feel so timely as we come through this difficult time. Other People's Problems, available now on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Do you remember seeing Dr. Mulder after it all happened, the first time you saw him? It must have been in hospital.
Yeah, him and my fiance at the time, Tam, were right there when I basically woke up the very first time. And the good thing is I saw her and then I saw him, and I couldn't talk. Like, they had intubated me. I had cords coming out of everywhere, and it was a lot going on. But he was right there, and like the father figure, the doctor, the cliche, he was right there, and he meant the world to me.
So you think he saved your life?
100%.
You had a long, long road to recovery. Maybe not that long compared to some people, but then you tried to get back to playing hockey, and Dr. Mulder also just happens to be the guy who withdrew your medical clearance, effectively told you you'd never play again. What was that moment like?
It was kind of relieving, in a sense, just because I knew I couldn't go. I knew I couldn't get the volume of air that I needed. And so when Dr. Mulder, he did tests and he watched me, and I got in a preseason game, and for him to pull my medical clearance, I'm glad it was him, and I'm glad that we had the talk together, but I kind of knew it in the back of my mind, and he's not going to pull any punches. He tells it the way it is. And I was very, very glad that he was the one that told me that it was over. I wouldn't want to get bad news from anybody else. Just like the compassion that he has, the knowledge that he has, the experience. It was soothing. Of course, Saskatchewan was our link. And just talking about guys that we knew in common. He was more than just a doctor. He was a friend. When you could talk about home, when you're 3,000 miles away and you could talk about home and talk about guys that you know, and it matters and it makes a connection.
And now Dr. Mulder's retiring after six decades with the Montreal Canadiens. What would you like to say to him? What would you want to say to him right now?
What a career. And it's amazing. Like he's set the bar. He's the standard. He's the template for doctoring in the NHL. Even through my accident, there's been different processes and procedures and where the doctors are in relation to the ice. Most of the time before I got hurt, most of the doctors were up in the halo watching from the stands, essentially. I think Montreal was the only team that had them basically right beside the ice. If they would have been up in the halo, I would have died. If I didn't skate off, I would have died. There's so many things that have changed because of the processes and procedures that Dr. Mulder has had in place for years with Montreal. So now he's set the standard. He's wrote the book. It's been that good of a career.
And you have a whole new perspective now as a hockey coach. You're often the one shuffling out onto the ice when one of your players is injured. Being on that side of things, how does it make you reflect on what Dr. Mulder did for you and your teammates over the years?
Well, it's you never know. That's what the one thing that you're coming out there. Is it just a bruised ego, or is it a fractured larynx? Like I said, you don't know. The game happens so fast, and so that's kind of he's went out to see how many different players and how many different situations. And you have to adapt, and he's done that for 60 years, which is just incredible.
What's one thing you've learned from him that you now apply on the ice as a hockey coach yourself?
Play every game like your last. Coach every game like it's your last. My circumstances were very unique, but that's the one thing he always said. It's like you just never know. And COVID's taught us that as well. You never know when something could get taken away from you. So if anything, Dr. Mulder just reiterated is enjoy your time, because you never know when your career, when your coaching career, when your hockey career, with your business career, it might be your last day. So that's probably one of the big things that I've taken away from Dr. Mulder.
Wow, what a beautiful memory. Trent McCleary, thank you so much for speaking to me.
Hey, anytime, it's my pleasure. And for Dr. Mulder, what a fabulous career. Congratulations. You deserve retirement more than anyone, but I know you won't slow down. You will always have something going. Take care.
That was my conversation with retired NHL player Trent McCleary. If you like this episode, please give us a rate and review wherever you listen. I'm Brian Goldman, and that's medicine from my side of the gurney.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.